are falling into place. Series spotlights the important work of and foster collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us to all fall into place. Falling into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Our Ability Alliance's dual goals are to inspire those individuals with disabilities to achieve their dreams through education and employment, as well as to educate able-bodied individuals about the differences in ability around us. The group's mission is to build a coalition among businesses in New York State interested in both hiring and building supplier diversity of businesses owned by individuals with disabilities. This morning, we welcome John Robinson, Executive Director of Our Ability Alliance, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much.
Very nice to have you here. So how did all this start for you?
I think it started because I sort of woke up. I had worked for nearly 20 years in media and always been a person with a disability.
Yeah.
And when I would be invited to go speak by organizations, when I would say this next sentence, it sort of changed my life. I would say that I had no role model with a physical disability to look up to in the business world or in the education world. And when I would do that, the very few other people with disabilities in corporate America that would hear me say that would nod their head. Mm-hmm. And so that started a process of realizing we can create an organization that creates employment opportunities for individuals with disabilities. And there's certainly a need here in New York with what we're trying to do with the Business Alliance.
Talk a little bit about the nature of your disability and how it was able that then you were able to work this into a positive place and ultimately to become that role model for many people.
Yeah, it's true. I was born 47 years ago without the extension of my arms and my legs. The technical term is I'm a quadruple congenital amputee. There are very few of us around the world. 22 out of every 100,000 people born in this country are born with an amputation. So 22 out of the city of Albany. But usually it's a finger, a hand. It's not all four limbs, and so It makes me pretty rare. You know, that I spent a good portion of my teenage years and my young adult life sort of ignoring it, in that I just wanted to be, quote, normal.
Right.
Now, normal can be an offensive term to other people with disabilities, but it was true. I wanted to have the mortgage and the two cars and the family and have a career. But at some point, then you start to take stock in your own life. You start to listen to the questions that are asked of you, and you realize there are very few of us. There are very few role models, and it's probably good for me to use my voice to try to help other people with disabilities.
It seems in the work that one of the issues would be, one of the challenges, let's say, is that word disability is so vague, meaning that everyone's disability is different. So it's hard to say, okay, well, you can accomplish this. So maybe that person couldn't, but this person can. So how do you overcome that?
It's a great point. You know, disability is all-encompassing. The federal government defines it as it dramatically impacts one aspect of your life. Well, that can mean a lot of things. So certainly amputation is one of them. But epilepsy, diabetes, cancer in remission, I mean, the term is broad. But the reality is, in the word disability, we have to take a look at the word ability.
Right.
And like anyone, able-bodied or a person with a disability, we all have specific abilities, right? And if we can take a look at individuals with disabilities and what they can do and put ourselves in proper places, and in this case with what we're talking about, work with businesses in New York State to find people's ability and functionality on a one-on-one basis, then that's where we can create change. Is really educate businesses on the ability that's in all of us.
So how do you work with individuals? And is it working with individuals or is it working with the business world at large to understand that the individuals are out there who want to work and be a part of this,
society? We certainly get a lot of people that will reach out to us, you know, phone, email, website.
Yep.
But our niche is to work with the business community. There are great organizations, specifically in New York State. There are great organizations like NYSARC, like NYSID, like New York State Mental Health. There are great organizations that deal with people with disabilities already. What we want to do is be the liaison to help businesses understand how to employ. So we'll work with the individuals when they reach out to us, but more importantly, we'll work with the organizations in New York State. And then what we'll do is we'll create a coalition of businesses. We are creating a coalition of businesses that are interested in employing. And then we'll go back and deal with the Autism Society, Spina Bifida Association, whomever it is, to say, hey, we've got these 10 job openings. We've got these 50 job openings. Let's figure out how we can populate. So the way I look at it is we're sort of a funnel between businesses, or conduit between businesses and organizations that deal with individuals with disabilities.
What are the challenges that you find that what businesses come up with as reasons why they will not employ?
I think that I don't know that you ever hear that directly
right.
from a business, but
yes.
What usually happens in the business community is the business community, like the rest of society, is used to doing what they've always done. So we have to scratch the surface and make it a little bit uncomfortable in starting this conversation. So that's first.
Okay.
But generally, once we educate...
Is making it a little uncomfortable just a little fun?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I like to make it a little uncomfortable.
I think that would be cool.
You know, it's cool in a good way, right?
Yeah.
I spent my whole life being stared at walking down the street
right.
or you know, going to a restaurant or whatever. I'm used to that. But, you know, it was also problematic when I was looking for a job. It took me 4 years to find my first job after I graduated university, right? So I've never forgotten that period of time where it was extremely uncomfortable.
What was your degree in?
Television, radio, film management.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then to figure that out.
And you know, media is a very, I want to put this politely, a visual world, right?
Yes.
What you look like when you walk in to be a salesperson matters. Right, so it took me that amount of time to find that first
radio,
job.
Radio, John, radio.
Many people said that. but, you know, I want to scratch the surface, because if we can get a business to think differently, we can create job opportunities for a long period of time with that organization who will continue to employ. That's what this is all about. I want them to be a little bit uncomfortable, so I make them think. And then once I get a business to think, then we can start to move forward in creating opportunities.
And does it come down to these are the opportunities that you can have, or that these are the things that we can overcome so that you don't have to worry about this individual coming in? They can just come in and do their job like everybody else does.
I had a great business in the Capital Region here say something to me that was wonderful. They said, you know, everybody has something going on, able-bodied or not. And so any employee I hire, this organization said, I've got to think about what they need help with. And they made the bridge themselves. They said, an individual with a disability that comes in here has the same things. So we have to figure out, what does that individual need to be successful? When you break it down from a business standpoint down to an individual employee level, and you just answer the question, what does that individual need to be successful? More times than not, that person will be successful.
Hmm. You do national work as well.
Yeah, getting on a plane here in 2 hours to head to Memphis, Tennessee.
So how does that manifest itself? Are people calling you and saying, this is what we want to accomplish?
Yeah, that's a good question. The federal government, the ADA, had a regulation that changed about 2 years ago. And it said, 2 years ago, 7% of federal contractors or subcontractors, 7% the employee base at federal contractor level, 7% have to be people with disabilities, meaning I'm going to FedEx here in a little while.
Right.
7% of FedEx employees need to be people with disabilities. We help national federal contractors and subcontractors get to or work towards getting to that level. On a state level, we're not there yet. Governor Cuomo's done a good job with the Employment First Commission, but we, our Ability Alliance, are one of the organizations asking New York State, either contractors that work with New York State or just businesses in general, to follow suit with what's gone on the federal level, to look at increasing the employment base in their own organizations towards a higher percentage that include people with disabilities, so that we can lower the poverty rate, we can create more tax-paying citizens rather than tax-receiving citizens, and so that our employees at each business around the Capital Region or New York State reflect the population that's in that area. And people with disabilities are part of the population.
Once the individual is hired, how secure is their position? Is it as secure as anybody else's?
Absolutely. You still have to perform. Yeah. One of the things that happened to me early on in my career, the first job that I was offered at a TV station in Central New York, the sales manager said, kind of privately, he said, "I didn't know how to fire you." And the reality is, I still have to perform. An individual with a disability still has to perform to the expected level. It's just the opportunity that we're asking for.
Mm-hmm. And what are the laws? So there are regulations to make sure that their opportunities are there. But are there also protective laws once the individual is hired?
The protective laws are the same as any other employee.
Okay.
So that's what's good to know, because a business needs to be successful.
Yeah.
Now, you can't let somebody go if it's not appropriate.
Yes.
But if it is appropriate and it's not working out, you certainly want to work to try to make it work out. But yes, I mean, there are those protections for the business and business owner as well.
The reason I ask the question is because of the nature of disabilities that can often that can come up, problems, issues, medical issues that have time that needs to be taken and so forth. So is that factored in? Is that something that you have to go at the beginning and say, all right, this is what we need to do. This is the reality we need to deal with.
Yeah. What you're talking about is reasonable accommodation.
Yeah.
And the word reasonable comes into it. So an example, when I worked at one of those television stations, the reasonable accommodation I needed to keep that job was I needed a step stool to be able to use the bathroom. I needed a step stool to use the photocopy machine. And so I asked for a step stool. Now, an unreasonable accommodation would have been that office was on the second floor. You know, I could have asked for an elevator to be put into that building. That's an unreasonable accommodation, because the reasonable accommodation could have been put my office on the first floor. Right. So that's just a specific example in my world. But in every business, when you employ an individual with a disability or somebody is temporarily disabled, the expectation is that that person has the right to ask for a reasonable accommodation to get that job done. It's not an unreasonable accommodation.
Mm.
And it's a nuance. But together, if we work on it, we can figure out how we can both get what we want, the employer and the employee.
We're going to continue our discussion in just a moment. We are talking to John Robinson, Executive Director of Our Ability Alliance, and it's our Falling into Place segment for this week. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with John Robinson right after this. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our Falling into Place segment. We are learning more about Our Ability Alliance, which, by the way, their website is ourability.com. You can find out more information about what they do. We have a link on our website, and we'll give more information at the end of the segment. We're speaking to John Robinson, who is Executive Director of Our Ability Alliance. You're also the founder, right? I mean,
Yeah.
This is your baby.
This is my baby.
Okay. Does it surprise people of what... I asked this question both to you as a personal question, but then also as a general question when it comes to a person with disabilities. Does it surprise employers at what you are able to do?
I think at first, sure. But then very quickly a transition is made. It's just the expectation. And I'm taking that into my own experience as an employee, but also what I've heard from other businesses. Sure. At first, you know, we do look different. We do have different issues.
Right.
But society at the same time is becoming more acclimated to disability. Autism's increasing, Asperger's increasing,
yes.
Veterans are coming back, et cetera. We're living longer. We're aging in. Once we fundamentally understand that as business owners and business people, and we give somebody an opportunity, then you see the ability. And I've had business after business say to me, hey, yes, we were surprised at first. But once so-and-so got into that opportunity, we realized they're just like everybody else.
So, but I do have to ask the question as to, you talked about your disability being very rare.
Sure.
But could I expect that everyone would be able to accomplish what you would be able to? I mean, you seem extraordinary in what you were able to do with your disability. I'm watching you text, and I find that fascinating because I have fun. I can't do it. You know, I right. do. Right. So, right. like, how does that work?
I think I get you, the crux of your question is you're right. I am very lucky. I'm very lucky in a lot of ways. And that's what puts me in this spokesperson position.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I have been out to Western New York and seen Mott's applesauce be packaged and watched the people with disabilities that do that, mm-hmm. making a minimum wage, great. But that job is just as important to them as my job is with me. So if we put, we talked about reasonable accommodation before, if we put reasonable expectations into New York State businesses and we put people in the right position, we'll have success. Hmm. I'm not asking for somebody to hire somebody that can't do something they cannot do. What I am asking is, if you're a business out there and you're listening to us and you have openings right now, I'm telling you there are paths to finding qualified candidates that can do those positions and be happy to do it and be grateful to do it with a smile on their face. It's our job at Our Ability Alliance to find those right people and the right places to find those right people.
And I guess going back to in that idea of finding the right people, do you work on making your clients and making the people with disabilities to be more marketable so that they can come in and do pretty much whatever is asked of them?
Absolutely. A big part of what we have to do is educate parents. We have to educate teachers, schools, anybody that touches young people with disabilities. And I'll mm-hmm. give you an example. When I was 5 years old, my mom said something to me. She said, "John, when you're 16, we'll buy you a car." Now, I can't, at five, couldn't feed myself or dress myself. I'm playing with matchbox cars in the dining room. She created a very big dream for me. That dream manifested itself, yes, at 16, to have a car and learn how to drive. But it also meant that I had to then use that ability, go to get my education, go get a job. What she was really saying is, "John, your dreams are just like everybody else's." We have to do that in New York State through the agencies that deal with individuals with disabilities, through the parents who have children with disabilities today and tomorrow, through the educators that are dealing with people with disabilities today and the businesses that will employ. We've got to make those dreams bigger. Now, we can't all hit every dream we want, but if we make the dreams bigger, we can fill roles that we didn't think we otherwise could fill. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what it's all about? Again, more tax-paying citizens rather than tax-receiving citizens.
The one thing that you just said that I thought flew under the radar, but I just want to go back to it to highlight it a bit, and that is that number, if I heard you correctly, the number of people with disabilities is then going up.
Yeah.
So because of the autism rate, because of veterans coming back, you mentioned several things. So that's fascinating. So we know that there's more people than in the pool that need this.
If you took people with disabilities as its own group, as its own minority group, we're bigger than the African American community. We're bigger than the LGBT community. We would be a great voting block if we could ever coalesce. One out of six people will have or have a disability. That's a big number. Because mm-hmm. of everything that I just said, we're aging longer, we're aging into disability, we're temporarily disabled, we have more people with Asperger's and autism, and more vets. So we are a bigger and growing bigger population. We have to be smart now, work together, and work, in this my case, work towards employment opportunities.
So how do you coalesce?
It's a great question. We have to stop. We, in our world, we have to start working together. And I'm seeing that with our generation, because what's happening with my generation and younger, we've grown up in an inclusive scholastic situation. We've grown up in an inclusive society. We're used to being around other people, including people with disabilities. We now need to take that, work together, not just be the amputee association, but be people with disability centric.
Right. So if you have an organization for the blind or an organization for the deaf or an organization such yep. for any number of as you said, amputees, so it would be it's because you're all in it.
There's always a proprietary reason to help other people who are visually impaired or blind if you're a blind organization. Absolutely.
Yes.
But there's also the need to coalesce and work together for the greater good for some of these things that we need, like the voting block,
yes.
like education, employment, et cetera.
When you started this, how is it the Our Ability Alliance? How has it grown, and how do you see it growing?
Well, I think the way I see it growing is I know there's a need here in New York State to talk business. You know, I've been lucky to have a 20-year business career.
Yeah.
What I'm finding are at those agencies that deal with individuals with disabilities, they do not necessarily know how to speak, quote, business. We can do that. You know, we can work with the Price Choppers of the world. We can work with the CEFQs of the world to say, hey, we have pools of people. Let us try to fill your roles. At the same time, we can reach out to those other businesses that we don't know and bring them to these associations and organizations to create that marriage. That's our niche. That's what we're excited about.
With the state government working and the federal government, I mean, are they good in and of themselves?
They can always be better.
Yeah.
I'll leave that on a positive note. They can always be better.
What we're
asking for in New York State is, yes, we would like to do better, but they first and foremost have to emulate success. They need to hire people with disabilities. They know that, but we're reminding them of that so that they get their numbers up, and so that we can help them do that.
Do you find, is there ever trouble for you finding people that want the opportunities that you're trying to get for them, in the sense that they did not have the support that you had as a child with your mother, that they don't even think that that's possible?
Yes. The number one thing on the individual side is building those dreams.
Yeah.
If we can build those dreams, and again, it can be from anywhere, then that's the foundation that the rest of this can be built on. You know, we're lucky in New York State. We've got great educational opportunities. You know, where we are like every other state, we have to build these dreams. And, maybe a small part of what our mission is to help people build the dreams and make them bigger.
So business-wise, who is a role model? What business should we support because of the work that they do with the disabled community?
I said two of them right now. I said, you know, Price Chopper does a great job. We all know that in this community, we see the goal of name everywhere.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you, even before we started this, in my own grocery store in Glenmont, you know, walk in there every day and buy something. You know, more times than not, I see an individual with a disability working there. And any chance I've had to work with Price Chopper or Golub on a professional level, I've said to them privately, you know, I paid attention to that. I know who employs and who doesn't employ. You know, so there are businesses that do well here in this region. What we need to do is to increase those opportunities.
Right. And that's another thing, too, and then to get the word out so that we as consumers will frequent the places that are fair.
We have seven businesses that have stood up and want to be leaders in this world. Price Chopper, CEFQ I mentioned already, SRI Fire Sprinkler, Barclays Capital and Anthem Healthcare, SUNY Research Foundation. You know, we've got businesses that want to be supportive, that are leading me, making sure I'm on task and doing this good work, but also doing the right thing in their employment.
Well, to learn more about Our Ability Alliance, you can visit ourability.com. Links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. But again, it's ourability.com. John Robinson is Executive Director of Our Ability Alliance. John, what a great pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much for the great work you're doing.
Thank you for the opportunity to get the message out.
Thank you. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. Seymour Possibilities, Seymour Promise, Seymour Progress.